Blog Talk Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Maniacs. That's right. We're back in action. It's time to sit back on the ranch with Making8.com. And we hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas. Miss Kelly, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Glad to be here again.
Well, we're glad to have you, as always. Did you enjoy our Christmas together?
I did. It was a very good Christmas.
Well, it was on the shorter side as far as money-wise, but we did have a good Christmas.
A good Christmas.
We spent actually almost all day out there hanging out, shooting guns all day long.
You and the kids spent almost all day out there shooting guns, playing games, going back and forth while I cleaned up Christmas and made Christmas dinner.
Yeah, you did. But you did get time to come out there and shoot with us a little
bit. I came out, hit my bullseye, and went back in.
Yeah, we did have a good time out there. Speaking of which, we know a lot of our Maniacs out there are joining us here tonight, and we sure do appreciate it. If you're a guest out there and you have not signed up with Blog Talk Radio to join our chat room, please make sure you do that. It doesn't cost you a dime. And, you know, we would be more than happy to have you come in and join the conversations with us. We've got a really good show set up here tonight. We've got a special guest that's going to be joining us here in just a little bit. But we know a lot of our Maniacs are out there. They had a fantastic Christmas. One of them in particular, we've been following on Twitter. Of course, she's one of our sponsors there at Taylor Truck and Auto. Ms. Shannon and Tim are actually out in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and they are hanging out up in the mountains. And I know one of the requests that she had was for a white Christmas. And I will tell you this, she was making a comment here earlier about how Santa Claus must really be taking her too seriously when she requested that white Christmas thing, because she got a lot of snow up there. I did the same thing a few years back, didn't I? We had planned a trip to go to Pennsylvania to spend Christmas with your family, and I had never seen a white Christmas. So what did I do? I said that was the one thing I wanted, was a white Christmas, and we would have to get up there, and sure enough, Christmas Eve, it starts snowing. And we're talking about those big, puffy snow flurries, I mean real thick, just absolutely gorgeous. And what do you know? We're sitting there wrapping presents there that night. It was snowing. We were right in front of the bay window. It was beautiful. Couldn't have painted a better picture for it. Listening to Christmas carols, drinking some hot cocoa, had the fire going.
Mm-hmm.
It was picture perfect. Woke up Christmas morning and there were 17 inches of snow on the ground. Way too much for me.
I do remember that. And I remember at the time our oldest, Austin, came downstairs, looked at the tree, got all excited about his presents, and we told him, well, wait a second, look outside. And when he slipped outside, he ran past the presents and towards the door.
Yeah, he sure did. There was no doubt about it. He was excited about it. We had a good time out there with enjoying the snow, but I was happy we were out yesterday. I actually had to take my vest off and sit out there in my short sleeve shirts for a while. It was bloody hot.
It was nice out there yesterday, but weather like today, really cold, chilly, where you got to bundle up, feels more like Christmas to me. I do miss cold weather at Christmas. I miss the snow at Christmas. It's not the same. When you grow up with all that, you miss it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, we got a lot actually going on. We're kind of getting back on our schedule, kind of. We obviously are going to be doing our lunch hour radio show starting tomorrow. We may not be doing all of those this week because we might be going out to Lake Okeechobee and hanging out with NFR finalist and finishing third this year in the PRCA standings and Shane Hanchey, mm-hmm. as well as eight-time tie-down roper world champion Joe Beaver. So we might be out there doing some video broadcasts for you this week. So, yeah, we'll definitely be working with you on that. I'm trying to check out some of the chat rooms there. Of course, you know, we were just talking about that. Jay Lake comes in here and he gives a big old shout out to everybody except for Mrs. Macon 8. So when he realized you were on, he finally gave you one.
I did this hello. So thank you, Jay Lake.
So let's see. What else we got going on down here? The pants question. Oh, there's no doubt we're wearing pants out here this year.
He's all bundled up. He's got a sweatshirt on and everything else. He's all bundled.
Most definitely.
I sweat the rest of us out of the house because every time I turn around, he's cranking the heat up another degree.
Oh. Well, I see Miss Becky says that some of our Macon 8 maniacs are actually having some issues coming on board with us here. So we'll see if we can send out a quick shout-out message to them. While we're doing that, though, we've got a big contest coming up tonight that we're going to be giving away. We're going to be giving away some prizes. We've got, what else, what all do we have? Oh, shoot. Well, of course, we've got PBR Get Tough, and Cowboy Dave is giving out a 2011 Team PBR membership this year. And we've got Brendan Clark cutout coming at you, courtesy of PBR News for You, and Cody Burleson. And Macon 8 is going to give you some autographs as well. So our question last week was, for you to name the 20 original founders of the PBR. And we got quite a bit of emails on those, and they were actually all correct. So I was surprised. The spelling was not all correct, but the actual names were.
There must be a lot of people out there like me. Spelling is horrible.
Yeah, we did not take points off for spelling, although we might have, should have. I mean, I think that we probably should have. Let's see. Yeah, I see that we do have a lot of guests in there. We've got PBR Get Tough in here posting out there that we've got a lot of guests in there joining us. And hopefully if you're joining us for the first time that you'll get over to Blog Talk Radio and sign up so you can come over and chat with us. If you do want to jump on the line and talk with us, give us a call, 646-915-9940. We'll be happy to take your calls and take your questions or comments. We'll talk a little bit about the Christmas. We got some PBR action to talk about. We got some PRCA action to talk about. We got a whole lot about. And, of course, you know me. I am just good at talking, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So, do you think Santa Claus is good to you this year?
I do think so.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're good enough for what all Santa brought you. Of course, your trip to Vegas, that
my trip to Vegas.
Yeah, most definitely. Anyhow, we did post up that link there, Miss Becky, we did post it up on Twitter, so hopefully we can get some more of our maniacs over there joining us here. And, yeah, we certainly hope that is the case because we do want to have all of our Macon 8 maniacs on board tonight. We got a great show set up, so let's take our first break here, and this first break is going to be brought to you by Backstretch Gallery. That's right. You see them posted on the brand-new Macon 8 pages. We've made a lot of new changes, trying to make it a little bit easier for you guys to get around and be able to maneuver. Most everything is set up on the homepage, so you guys make sure to get over there and jump on board with us. But we're going to take a first break, And when we come back, we're going to talk some more rodeo, bull riding, PBR, PRCA, Christmas. We'll talk about it all right here on MakingEight.com. Don't go anywhere, Making Eight Maniacs. We'll be right back.
Wild horse rider with nothing to lose. Old cassette tapes, Chris LeDoux. Six bronc riders in a minivan. Gonna make it to the whistle and the pickup man. Start to shoot one and I'ma shoot five. Working their way right on down the line. 8 second whistle is all I need. Keep your feet in rhythm and out of them deeds. Jump or jump, make that ride. Sit back and watch that bird still fly. Break that neck in perfect time. This ain't no rain for taming, it's a wild bronc ride. Put my hand in the rigging and I'm taking a hold. Nod my head and hang on for dear life. I set my feet and make the mark him out right. They crack that gate and she breaks in two. She's trying all the same tricks but I ain't no fool. Ducking and diving across that pit. She's got that heart but she ain't gonna win. Jump or jump, make that ride. Sit back and watch that bird still fly. Break that neck in perfect time. This ain't no rain for taming, it's a wild bronc ride. On a double grab and wait for my spot to get off. Step off and wave my hat to the fans. You can't beat the life of a rodeo man. Run out back to my rigging sack. Put my saddle on another wild bronc's back. Tame of wild horses all across this land. This is the story of a bronc riding hand. Jump or jump, make that ride. Sit back and watch that bird still fly. Break that neck in perfect time. This ain't no rain taming, it's a wild bronc ride. Jump or jump, make that ride. Sit back and watch that bird still fly. Break that neck in perfect time. This ain't no rain taming, it's a wild bronc ride.
As the saying goes, long live cowboys. So if you want to be like a cowboy, dress like a cowboy, there's only one way to go. Wrangler jeans and shirts, that's the place to be. Be there or be square. From the low cuts to the cowboy cuts, they've got them all. Wrangler jeans and shirts. Take it from me, world champion Rob Smets. Being a cowboy runs in your jeans.
This is Wrangler National Finals Rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Making8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Making 8 is a winner.
All right. Welcome back to the Back on the Ranch show right here on Making8.com. That's right. I almost flipped up and said lunch hour, but we're not quite there yet. We'll be back on our schedule tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. We'll be sitting back on our lunch hour rodeo show. So hopefully everybody's gotten the kinks worked out and we've all got on board here. Want to appreciate everybody. I want to thank everybody for jumping on board here with us tonight as we sit back on the ranch. And hopefully everybody is really recovered well from their Christmas. I know our kids really enjoyed it. You know, actually, some of our Make It Eight Maniacs, their kids and grandkids got phone calls from Santa Claus.
I heard that was special.
That was really neat. And Making Eight actually had a thing or two to do with that, but we did have a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. That actually made my Christmas Eve, really did. I think that was one of the better, one of the best things that I got to do this year was to hang out and actually help out some of the Making Eight Maniacs and whatnot. So, with that being said, we've actually got some callers on the line right now. One of them is wanting to talk a little bit of Christmas with us, and you all know her very well. She writes Not Your Mama's Romance, one of the best authors out there. up and coming. I'm telling you, this young gal has got what it takes to write those saucy romance novels. Does she not there, Miss Macon 8? Well, I've probably enjoyed more of them than you have, but they are hot. We love them. So let's bring on Miss Kat Johnson. Miss Kat, are you with us?
I'm here. Hey, Scott. Hey, Kelly. I'm on.
You're on.
I wanted to say, first of all, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody from snowy New York, and you know what we're counting down to here in New York State.
Yes, definitely. Less than 2 weeks away, and we're going to get into that here just a little bit in our show, so don't jump ahead of us there, Miss Kat.
All right.
I know where you're going with it. Definitely, and I know you got your tickets and everything, right?
I had a really, really big surprise. I had gotten my own tickets for Sunday for my husband and I for the Invitational, and then my friends surprised me, and they got me tickets for me and for them for the Friday night. So that's for opening night. I mean, the biggest deal is they are New York suburbanites. I mean, they don't go to the city unless they're going to see a Broadway show. And they're going to go with me to the Bull Rides. So it's going to be an interesting experience for all of us, I'm sure.
Wow. Very cool. Well, I know you will be looking forward to that then.
I definitely am. And I want to open up the invitation. If any of the maniacs are going to be there in New York Friday or Sunday, contact me either through my email or my Twitter or my Facebook or something, and we'll hook up and we'll meet, and I might have some Kat Johnson swag to give away, some Let's Ride, stuff, bookmarks, or Let's Buck bumper stickers, or you never know what I'm carrying around with me.
Right on. Yeah, too bad we're not going to be able to make it up there, but you're not going to get me up there this time of year. It's just way too cold.
You have your own promo. I sent it to you directly in sunny Florida.
That's right. Well, I don't know about how sunny it is here anymore. It'll be colder tomorrow, and we're actually under a freeze warning for the first time this year. So how much snow do you have up there, Kat?
It came from the south, and I'm pretty far up north in New York, so it didn't start until very late in the day, and we probably only have between 4 and 6 inches. When people down south, down in like Jersey and southern part of New York got a lot more than we did. I think Long Island probably got hit too.
Oh.
So it's not too bad.
Well, I thought you were going to call and talk about your lovely 8x10 poster of
I'd like to talk about
Cowboy.
That, too. I'm really lazy about getting the mail. So the husband comes wandering in with this giant envelope Christmas Day, and he goes, here, this is for you. And he's standing there watching me open it. And it's from Scott, and it's an 8x10 picture of him, you, in your chaps with no shirt on. And I had some quick talking to do.
You know what's so funny about that? I had warned everybody and said, listen, if I'm sending these out to the naughty list, and you were the first one to say how naughty you were, and then you're the one that had to do most of the talking about it, because everybody else seemed to handle that just fine. Their husbands were all like, wow, all right, just another cowboy. As a matter of fact, I think, who was it? Was it Shannon that said that
she told her husband it was for him from you.
Him, right? Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting.
I try to keep my two lives separate, my personal life and my dirty novelist life. So, the husband's not always aware of what's going on.
Does your husband read your book?
No, he does not.
He does not? Wow. Well, he should. I'm telling you, I think he would be your biggest fan. I think I am right now. I absolutely love him. I'm already into the second book. I haven't had enough time to sit down and read the whole thing like I did the first one. But I am, most definitely one of your big fans.
The second book gets a little in-depth there, Scott. I don't know. Don't tell me when you finish it. I don't want to know.
I'm giving you reviews, so, absolutely, though, Kat. Well, hey, listen, I appreciate you calling, and
no problem.
I know that you're looking forward to it, and we will certainly send that message out that if anybody is going to be going out to the Open Invitational, the New York Invitational there in New York for the PBR, their first stop on the Built for Tough Series for 2011, that they can get a hold of you, and I know that you guys would love to meet up. Make sure you do some tweet-ups while you're out there. We want to get some messages and see some pictures of you guys.
Definitely, we will. Take lots of pictures, and we'll post them everywhere for you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, well, make sure to keep staying tuned, and enjoy the rest of the show.
I will. Bye. Thanks, guys.
Right. All right there, Maniacs. And that's right. We did want to make mention, too, that we have kind of changed the whole look on Making8.com. So if you have not been over there, make sure to get over and check it out. We've got a slideshow up now. You can check out some of our pictures from 2010. Also, that reminds me, we've got to send a big old congratulations out to you, the Making8 Maniacs, for putting us over the 100,000 hit mark for 2010.
Amazing.
I could not believe it. I was not sure if we were going to be able to do it. We were, I think, only around 80,000 hits come October, November time. And so I was a little concerned. I said, man, I would love to be able to accomplish that. But guess what? We did. We already overcame that. And I think that 2011 is going to be even bigger. I mean, I would like to at least double that. So, you Making8 Maniacs, please make sure to keep spreading the word about us. It is working. It is absolutely working. You guys are doing a fantastic job. Keep making sure you go over and stay tuned with Making8.com. Check it out a couple times a day. We're always going through making changes. You can always find our archives. They're posted right there on the homepage now even. All of our show channels are out there on the homepage. We've got a blog page set up, Blogtown. We have not even talked about that very often, so we need to get some of you guys over there and check out Blogtown, post some comments. If you're interested in becoming a member of our Blogtown and being able to post your own blogs when it comes to bull riding or rodeos, that type of thing, please make sure to contact us and we'll set you up on an account. You'll be able to get over there and do that. What else do we have to talk about here? I know we're getting into our show here just a little bit. We've got our guest, believe that's about ready to jump on board. And, you know, that kind of reminds me, you know, the most success we had really was doing all those video broadcasts and things like that from when we were out in Las Vegas during the NFR. And, you know, that was one of the most awesome times that you and I both shared out there was being able to get a lot of these Making8 Maniacs on board with what's going on outside of PBR. You know, I mean, granted, we did do a lot of PBR coverage out there, but one of the coolest things is to be able to open their eyes to what's going on in the world of rodeo. And, you know, there's a lot more than just bull riding. And, you know, granted, we all love the PBR, love the lights and smokes, never take that away from them. I think that they've done a fantastic job of promoting the sport of bull riding for what it is. I come from a bull riding background. That's what I did, you know. So I certainly enjoy it more than I would say your average fan, you know, being able to be around it. A lot of the guys that I competed with, you know, are riding on the Built for Tough series. Caleb Sanderson, Wagner Luciano, Rooster McKinnon. We saw them at the finals. We saw them on tour this year. You know, so, I mean, I absolutely love what they're doing. But there is more than just that, you know. And, you know, you see guys like Sean Willingham that grew up being, you know, a city guy, come out and just started riding bulls. But there's a history behind the sport itself. And, you know, with that being said, there's, you know, so many other events. You've got your, you know, tie down roping. You've got your, you know, which really still carries on today. The average cowboy still goes out and ties down calves, and, you know, they have to rope these calves and that type of thing. That is still taking part every day in the American cowboy. You know, you've got barrel racing that goes on. You've got, you know, your saddle bronc and your bareback. And, I mean, even those guys, I mean, you know, when it comes down to breaking horses and things like that, putting them in a round pen. So, you know, it absolutely is very intriguing. And, you know, we're seeing some of our comments come in our chat room right now that some of them are actually, you know, we're actually watching the NFR for the first time ever. Because of a lot of what we were doing, and they were able to learn a lot more. And obviously being down in Okeechobee with Shane Hanchey and working with him before the event, you know, that was a big part of it. But, you know, just like tie-down roping, you know, there's many other events. So with that being said, we're going to bring in one of our special guests here tonight, joining us for the first time, and he's actually going to be the first bareback rider we've ever had on our Making A show. And
it's a good one to have.
Yeah, very good to have. You know, I mean, this guy was obviously won the NFR qualifiers there in Las Vegas. I believe he finished 14th in the world. So let's go ahead and bring him on and talk a little bit with him. I know you guys are tired of hearing me. Let's bring on Mr. Matt Bright. Matt, are you with us? Oh, wait a second. Hold on. There you go. Matt, you with us?
You got me now.
Yeah, I got you, buddy. I guess it'd help if your line off mute, huh?
Yeah, that would help.
So, Matt, you're actually from Azale, Texas, correct?
Yes, sir. I live in Azale, Texas, but I grew up in Tennessee, actually.
Right, Loudoun, Tennessee, as a matter of fact, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know that was right. Actually, out down there in the neck of the woods where I hung out, spent a lot of time, just down there south of you a little ways in Athens. And man, I'll show you, that's beautiful country right there on the west side of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful place to grow up, definitely.
But Azale, Texas, is where you call yourself or call home now, correct?
Yes, I came to Texas after I got out of college because it was just so hard to rodeo living in East Tennessee. Because I mean, it took me 6 hours just to get to Memphis, and then you know, if I was going any farther west or whatever rodeos, it was just such a drive that I just made a decision that if I was going to rodeo for a living, I needed to live somewhere that was a little better location.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, first off, I want to welcome you to the first back on the ranch show. And appreciate you taking the time out here to jump on with us.
Well, thanks for having me on here. It's a pretty exciting deal.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about you. You actually were injured here at your first NFR appearance, correct?
Yes, sir. I broke one of the lumbar vertebrae in my spine in the eighth go-around.
Okay. And I know that most of our Making Eight Maniacs, we've got a lot of visitors here joining us tonight. We know that they, a lot of them actually saw that. So first off, how are you doing?
I'm actually doing really well. I know there's been a lot of people, you know, really, everybody's been really supportive and you know, a lot of prayers and well wishes. And I just want to thank everybody that's ever, you know, that said anything to me because it's really, you know, I think the prayers have really helped because I think I'm doing really good. My back feels good. I'm just waiting to see a doctor to kind of get the go-ahead to hopefully start doing some exercises and stuff here pretty soon.
Right on, man. That'll be great. So this was actually your first NFR appearance, correct?
Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever been there to watch or anything, so it was pretty interesting experience.
Yeah, Vegas is a whole new atmosphere, isn't it?
Yeah, it was something else. It was pretty mind-blowing to be a first-timer there.
Yeah, no doubt. I know last year we were out there for the Thunder Echo games with Rob Smets there at the South Point, and for us to be there for the first time, it was very, very overwhelming. This year I think we had a better grip on it just a little bit, but got to tell you, man, it was really impressive to watch you. You know, now, how old are you, Matt?
I'm 27.
27. Okay, so and when did you actually start getting into bareback riding?
Well, actually, I started out as a bull rider, which I think a lot of guys kind of do that. You know, you start riding calves and steers when you're young, and I actually picked up bareback riding in high school because I wanted to try to get some all-around points. I thought, you know, I looked up to Tom Murray and guys like that, and you know, Larry Mahan and those kind of guys that did several rest stock events, and my dad did barebacks and bulls, so I thought, you know, I could get some all-around points if I picked up the bareback riding, if I was, you know, halfway decent at it, and man, it ended up, it came a lot more natural for me to get on bareback horses than it did bulls, so that was kind of, it just kind of blossomed out of that.
Okay, And, you know, actually, we're going to get right down to it now. Some of the Making Eight Maniacs here, a lot of our fans that are in our chat room are actually throwing out some questions to you. And I know that one of the biggest questions, obviously, in bareback riding is how do you prevent, you know, or how do you keep from getting whiplash on these horses?
Well, there's several different ways. You know, I mean, obviously, a guy really tries to control. You know, you want to be in good shape, so you want to have a lot of control over your body while you're riding, because the more control that you can have, the less that you're going to get whipped around by the horses, which some guys kind of throw that idea out the window, too. You know, those guys just rear back and go for it a lot more wild than I do. But and besides just trying to control your body, you also, a lot of guys, you'll see them wear neck rolls or neck braces that we tie on that kind of hold your head from going too far back, and it kind of prevents a little bit of that torque that you get on the neck muscles.
Okay. So although it may look like it a lot of times, you're really not, because of the amount of control that you have, you're not getting that whiplash effect that some of us may think that you get?
Yeah, well, a lot of people think that bareback riding is just the guys just kind of flopping around on the horse's back, but really there's a lot of control that goes into it, in that, like, you don't want, you know, to get a good score, a judge is going to be looking not only for you to be spurring the horse, but if your upper body's flopping from side to side and things like that. And so you really have to maintain control while still being a little bit wild. I know it kind of sounds contradictory, but that's kind of the effect that we go for, because you want to be wild with your feet. Your feet want to be doing a lot, but then the rest of your body needs to be really maintained in a one position.
Okay. And so that's part of what actually gives you the points. And that kind of leads us into one of my next questions, was what does it really take to get points in the bareback riding? I know a lot of our fans, you know, are bull riding fans. And, of course, with bull riding, you know, it's just a matter of when they open that gate, you hang on for 8 seconds. If you make a ride with your free hand out, you know, and you're handing that rope, you're going to get a score. But with bareback or with saddle bronc, it's actually a little bit different, correct?
Right. There's one of the main differences is, like I said, it involves your feet. The judges are looking at your feet in two aspects. The first being you have to mark the horse out or spur the horse out of the chute, which means you got to have your feet placed in their neck without your feet moving when they hit the ground the first jump out. And if you don't manage to do that, you automatically get a no score. And then after that, as the horse is jumping and kicking across the arena, instead of just hanging on, a guy's got to jerk his knees up and roll his feet up the horse's neck, and you got to get a spurring motion going within the timing with that animal. And the score comes from the farther you can jerk your feet up towards your rigging, and then the faster you can get them back down to the front end of the horse, which that's why it creates kind of a wild-looking, you know, motion that's going on. But really and truly, it's something that we're trying to make happen as controlled as possible.
Okay, so you're basically taking something that's out of control and getting control of it, right?
That's the idea. It doesn't really work out that way, but that's the idea, yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes a lot more sense, and I know that you know, some of our fans out there will certainly appreciate that a lot more. What is it like being out there on a horse that's bucking that hard, or you have such a rank horse that's got a lot of drop kick to him? Is that what gets the horse the bigger scores? A horse that turns back closer, kind of like a bull does, you know, right there towards the gate and comes out? Or is it, you know, just the drop kick, or how does that work out?
You know, the judges, I have some, you know, some guys that are the pro officials in the rodeo I'm pretty close to, as far as we have a lot of conversations about the stuff that they look for. And the judges have several different criteria that they're, you know, they go through these clinics that they teach, you know, the pro officials teach the new coming on judges what to look for and things like that. And a lot of the things that they look for are, like you said, a horse at least high in the air, and then drops down and kicks over his head. That's going to create power. And then they judge it on whether or not a horse has changes in directions. If he just goes straight down the arena, he's going to be easier to ride than one that's jumping side to side, or like you said, maybe turning back and coming in a little circle and things like that. So the more change of directions, the more power they have, and the height of their jump, and all kinds of different things contribute to what they're looking for to make a horse rank. So if you just got one that just goes doop to doop to doop, you know, just jumps and kicks right down the middle of the pin, you're obviously not going to score as well on that one, no matter how good you ride, compared to a guy that has one that's leaping really high in the air and changing directions and, you know, coming around closer to the chutes and things like that.
Okay. Well, that certainly does sum it up. I mean, you know, that makes it opens even my eyes up to, you know, I mean, what a judge would look for in order to get you guys those, you know, 90-point rides. And I know there was, I believe there was one or two 90-point rides there at the NFR this year. What is the rankest horse that you've ever been on?
Well, there's several horses that come to mind. I know Benny Butler's got one called Zinger that I won Lawton, Oklahoma on him this year. And it was like this horse was just, I honestly couldn't tell you what happened in 8 seconds. I know he jumped out of there and he was really bucking and he came around to the left in a circle, but it was just, I just pretty much spurred him out of self-defense. And when the ride was over, like he was bucking so hard he hit me with his rump and kind of knocked me a little bit silly, hit me in the back of the head with his butt, and I don't even remember the last couple of jumps of the ride. I just know what was happening up to that point, and then I kind of came to my senses, and I just come off his back right after the whistle, and they told me that I'd won the rodeo. So, I'd have to say that's probably one of the – I would have to mark that one as down as probably the rankest horse I've ever been on.
Yeah. You know, and they were actually talking about that during the NFR about how some of the guys actually do sustain concussions from the horses bucking so hard that they actually get brought back. You know, their heads, the cowboys' heads, get brought back into the rump of that horse, and it'll knock them out cold.
Yeah, I actually had that happen to me at Houston last year. Horse, I guess it was the hip bone maybe of the horse or something, hit me in the back of the head, middle of the ride, and I was making a good ride on this horse, and the next thing I knew, I was laying on the ground, staring at the ceiling of Reliant Stadium, kind of wondering what happened, you know, and I guess I watched it back on video, and the horse just hit me just right, I guess, and yeah, I went to sleep, woke up in the arena.
Wow. So how many events did you actually attend last year in order to be able to make those scores and qualify for the NFR?
I competed in, I think, 79 rodeos last year.
Wow. That's a lot of time out there.
Sorry, what's that?
No, I just said that's a lot of time out there on the road.
Yeah, it's a full-time job for sure. It's, you know, you don't really go to that many in the wintertime because there's a bunch of rodeos in the wintertime that are what we call multiple go-round rodeos, like San Antonio or Houston or one of those, for example. You have to get on 3 to 5 horses, depending on how far you progress, just at that one rodeo. Whereas, you know, then you get into the summertime, and the rodeos are, there's a lot more of them, but they're mostly what we call one go-round rodeos, where you just show up, nod your head, and ride one horse, and then leave and go to the next one.
Right.
So
right.
Through the summertime, like I leave for Reno, which is kind of the middle towards the end of June there, and I don't come home until after Pendleton, which is in middle of September. So I'm on the road for 3 months without coming home usually.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, we're actually getting some of the comments in here from our chat room, and I don't know if you're over there with us and you can actually see what's going on, but one of the things that you know, we're kind of talking about, and you and I were talking about before the show, was you know, it really seems like the bareback and the saddle bronc riders have just kind of gone away, at least here in the Southeast. And I don't know if it's that way, you know, where you guys are out rodeoing, but how many contestants are usually participating in bareback or saddle bronc where you guys are at?
Well, it depends, because some rodeos limit their entries, such as, you know, like Reno, for example, only takes, I think, 60 guys, so it's just the top 60 in the world, stuff like that.
Right.
So those bigger rodeos with the limited entries, you don't really see the contestants falling off, but you can definitely see it when, like, you go to some of these smaller rodeos in Texas and stuff. There's definitely, you know, and I've growing up in Tennessee, I pro rodeoed in the Southeastern Circuit myself for several years, and yeah, it was definitely a deal where you're lucky to get five bareback, because you have to have five bareback riders to have a rodeo. Like, they had to sanction the event, they have to get five entries, and there's been times when I know, like, one of the stock contractors in Georgia named Charlie Lowry, I've actually entered a rodeo of Charlie's before, and he would enter the bareback riding and then draw out after they had, you know, the books closed or whatever, just so that we'd have an event.
Right.
So, and it's definitely a bareback riding and saddle bronc riding. Not so much saddle bronc riding compared to bareback riding, but both of them are definitely dying off compared, you know, to team roping, where everybody and their mom seems like they're team ropers anymore.
Right. But, you know, at the same time, for somebody like yourself, does that give you do you feel like that gives you an edge to be able to get out there and be assured some sort of money that would go towards your year standings?
Well, you'd think that, but I think the thing about it is, even though there's a lot fewer bareback riders, it seems like, you know, per capita, our event has as much talent as any event going. Like, it seems like there might only be 100 guys in the PRCA that are, you know, that are bareback riders, but of those 100, there's 45 of them, you know, better, you know, right at half of them that at any time could win the rodeo or even qualify for the NFR. So it seems like, even though there's, you know, a lot fewer of us, the talent level is so high in that small pool that it still doesn't seem like it gets any easier, even with less entries.
Yeah. Well, I guess that would make sense. That would make sense. I know myself personally, I just, you know, I give you guys all the credit in the world, and we've actually got another bull rider in our chat room right now that certainly agrees with us. They say the same thing, that, you know, to our standpoint, you know, we look at it and think that bareback riding is a whole lot more difficult than it is to bull ride. For us to get out there in that arena and just jump on a bull and just put our free hand out and our other hand closed, you know, in a bull rope, you know, I mean, that's pretty easy stuff when it comes down to it. But, you know, for you guys to get on those bucking horses like you do, and, you know, I mean, most people think, oh, well, you know, it's not as risky as bull riding. You're one that can actually, you know, can tell firsthand that that's not the case. I mean, you guys endure a lot of injuries as well.
Yeah, and I think the difference in the events is that, you know, in bull riding, you might go a long time without getting hurt. I know when I rode bulls, I might go a really long time and not get injured at all. But then when you do get hurt in the bull riding, it's usually something pretty bad.
Yeah.
Whereas the bareback riding, it seems like you just kind of stay at a steady level of being sore and injured the whole time, you know, and it never really gets that bad. I mean, every now and then, like, obviously I broke my back, which is a kind of a freak deal, you know, and a bad deal, but overall it's not something you're going to see as often as something in the bull riding. But, you know, it's more like you just stay sore, and a lot of bareback riders have elbow problems and knee problems and things like that.
Yeah. Well, that actually kind of brings us to my next point. How long do you think you're going to be out? How long are you looking to be out before you look to get back at it?
Well, going by what the doctors told me, I'm hoping that I can be back by the beginning of February, which is when San Antonio starts. And San Antonio is the biggest rodeo of the wintertime, so I'm really, really wanting to you know, be able to compete in that rodeo, because that's going to be one that, you know, if a guy can have some success there, it kind of sets up the rest of his year. So I'm really going to keep my fingers crossed, you know, and keep praying that I'll make it back to be able to compete in San Antonio in February.
Good deal. Well, we certainly want to wish you the best of luck with that, man. I know that, you know, you're enduring that type of injury, you know, and like you said, you know, it was a freak thing, but it could have been a lot worse. And one of the things that you said that probably prevented that was the use of a vest, just like bull riders were, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I definitely got to throw a shout out to my sponsor, Phoenix Vests, because I know that, you know, if I hadn't had that vest on, it definitely could have been a lot worse because it absorbed a lot of that impact when that horse reared back on me. So I definitely would have to recommend that any young kids or anything out there that are coming up in any of the Rough Rock events, get yourself a Phoenix vest because it'll save your life.
Yeah, most definitely. And they were talking about that as well at the NFR was that, you know, it's not required for you guys to wear a vest, correct?
That's correct. Actually, I rode bareback horses for a couple of years there where I didn't have a vest, and then I got this deal going with Phoenix, and really glad that I started wearing one again because it's definitely saved me from a lot of soreness.
Wow. Well, now what do you feel like it does? I mean, does it feel more uncomfortable when you're out there on the horse wearing a vest, or do you feel like it doesn't have that much effect on you?
You know, I know a lot of guys probably think, oh, I don't want to put a vest. You know, guys that don't ride with one, they think they don't want to wear one because it'll be too bulky or this or that. But really and truly, once you get out there and you're in the middle of the ride, you're not going to notice things like that. I don't think, anyway. I mean, it might take a little bit of getting used to, but it's definitely something that I would recommend personally because I know just on a day-to-day basis of riding bucking horses, like the horse has a flank strap around them. Well, that flank strap has a metal buckle on it, and that buckle will hit you in the small of your back while you're riding. And just, you know, little things like that. And it doesn't really hurt, but it just kind of makes you a little sore or might scratch your back a little. And just, you know, on a day-to-day basis like that, it's going to take those kind of things away.
Right, right. So, all right, I got to ask you, what does Matt Bright like to do when you're not out there spurring those horses in the neck?
Well, I'm actually kind of a bit of a nerd when it comes to extra stuff outside of rodeo. Like, I mean, I like to play golf and, you know, racquetball. And you know, I'm a sports guy too, but I like, I'm big into video games. I love my video games. Got to have my Xbox when I'm on the road. And I like to play guitar a little bit. Just pretty much a homebody, I think, when it comes to being off the road. Because we're on the road so much that when I do come home, I usually tend to stay on the ranch.
Right. Okay. Do you have a family or anything like that? Or are you still at home with mom and dad? What's the personal life like for Matt?
Well, I'm single. I'm not married or anything. But my folks and I live, we all live on the same place. We got a couple of houses on the same place down here in Texas. So anytime I need some of my mom's home cooking and things like that, I can always just shoot next door and get to see the family, which is, it's good to have your family close to you like that because we're pretty tight-knit, and it's nice having them right there close.
Oh, sure. Yeah, most definitely. Well, hey, listen, Matt, I certainly appreciate you taking time out of your day to call us up, man. Hopefully you've had a good Christmas. You think Santa Claus was pretty good to you this year?
Oh, absolutely. It was. I got more stuff than I even know what to do with, actually, so it's awesome.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, listen, I want to wish you the best of luck for your 2011 season, and hopefully you'll be back at it here before too long. Man, take her easy, though. You know what I mean? I know that rehab is going to really help you out. You see a lot of cowboys really push, and they try to get back there a little bit too early. I hope that's not the case with you, man. I hope that back is really healed up the way it needs to be so you can get back out there and just, I mean, spur them down, you know?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to follow the doctor's orders on this one because that's not an injury you want to mess with too much. Because it'll definitely come back to haunt you. So my game plan is just do what I have to do, and whenever they do release me to come ride again, I'm just going to play a little bit of catch-up and come get them for the NFR next year.
Right on, man. Well, hopefully we'll see you back out there again, buddy. And like I said, I think that you have a lot of talent. We enjoyed watching you here this year, and certainly look to see you back there in years to come.
Well, thanks for having me on here, and just want to say thanks to everybody that's supported me through all this, you know, the finals and injury and everything. Everybody's been really great, so appreciate you having me, and God bless.
Yeah, well, you know what? Make sure you stick around, Matt, and, you know, check back in with us, man. Let us know how you're doing when you do get back out there on that rodeo road. We want to hear from you.
Absolutely. We'll definitely do this again.
All right, buddy. Take care, man, and have yourself a good new year.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. All right there, Making Eight Maniacs. Mr. Matt Bright, I'll tell you what, he's got a lot of talent. And, you know, he had to overcome some of those obstacles. Round eight put a hurting on him. He ended up breaking his back, but we look to see him get back at it this year. So you guys can look to follow Matt. He does have a Facebook link, and I know Jaylay just posted it up there for you. Make sure you go over and try to friend him. We were talking to him earlier this week, too. He might end up trying to get himself a Twitter account or something like that as well. So he's trying to get some things rolling so you the Making Eight Maniacs or you the rodeo fans can follow him and stay tuned and see how Matt Bright's doing out there. So make sure you guys do that. Sure appreciate him taking the time out to join us on the show today. And as always, you know, Miss Kelly, it's always a pleasure having you on as well.
Well, good. I'm glad to be here.
I know. Making Eight Maniacs seem to love you. I don't know why, but, well, actually I do, probably for a lot of the same reasons I do. But anyways, we got a contest. We got to give out. We need a number. I don't see PBR get tough. Did he end up breaking out, or is he still with us? Cowboy Dave, where are you at, buddy? I need your help now. I see the comment coming in there from North Carolina Bull Rider asking, you know, if bareback riding is more physically demanding. Absolutely. I do think that it is way more physically demanding than bull riding. You know, with bull riding, you're kind of in that zone where you're trying to find that zone anyways. And once you find that zone on that bull, you can stay in the middle and kind of find that place where there is no energy, you know, where there's the least amount of energy being exerted. So you're making very little movements. With bareback, you know, it is hang on and you better have a grip. So let me see here.
Relay point.
What's that?
Can't get a word in edgewise.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you know what? Next time I'm just going to throw you out here. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and let you run the show. So, let's see. PBR get tough. I think that you have to give us a number here, buddy. I'm on the, I've got our selection of contestants that have sent us emails. I've got the list right here, and I need a number 1 through 15 right now. Give me a number 1 through 15. There, Mr. PBR, get tough. Come on, throw it at me now. We're looking for it. What do you got? Still looking for that number to come in there. Let's see. Oh, that reminds me. We got PBR to talk about. We've only got about 10 minutes in the show, too. We're winding things
down.
Oh, wow. 6 minutes.
Number 11. Who's your number 11?
All right.
I'm excited. I
want to
see.
Okay. Well, count them down there, Miss Kelly.
Starting here?
Yep.
This one? Come on.
Yep. All right. While Miss Kelly does that, I want to remind you guys, we're less than 2 weeks away from the PBR invading New York City. And we are going to rock and roll. This is exciting. 2011 is about to get underway, and we're going to rock and roll. Absolutely excited about it. Okay. Well, looks like Miss Emily Benedict is going to be our winner for our Light Up 2011 giveaway. So, Emily Benedict, congratulations to you. And we've got to make sure to get in touch with you. We'll send you out an email. Hopefully you're tuning in at some point, and we'll get you these prizes out to you here before too long, within the next week. I'll have to actually probably send mine out when I'm passing through on my way to Okeechobee, because we're going out there this week to work with Joe Beaver as well as Shane Hanshey. So you guys will get a chance to talk with Shane and see him again this week as well.
He'll be flying solo on Okeechobee.
I know. You're going to be working. You're working. I'm working. Work, work, work.
I know. I'm waiting for money to start rolling in now.
So you're waiting for me to start getting paid, aren't you?
I definitely am.
All right. Well, so we've got our contest, our final contest for 2010. Want to thank everybody for contributing, and want to let you all know that we PBR Get Tough has got another giveaway that he's giving away with Jeffrey Scott. So I'm trying to check it all out.
We got a buckle added to this contest.
Holy smokes, I'm telling you. Cowboy Dave, now, he originally started and said that our contest was going to be the last contest for 2010. 2 days later, he throws out there and gets another contest rolling with Jeffrey Scott. I mean, this guy is a contest fanatic. No wonder you guys are Cowboy Dave fans. And hopefully, maybe I can even try to get in on that Jeffrey Scott one. I would not mind at all. I'm kind of being left in the dark here. We've been putting on all these contests there, and you know, courtesy of PBR Get Tough and Cowboy Dave, as well as PBR News for You, all of these guys have been a big contributor, and we sure do appreciate you guys for helping us out, allowing us to be able to do these contests through Making Eight. We've got a lot more contests coming at you for 2011, so you guys make sure to stay tuned to that. But we've got meetups coming up this as well with the PBR, the PBR meetups. If you guys have not seen those yet, make sure to get over. And we were talking about it. We're going to be doing a tailgate party for the Tampa Invitational down here in April. And we're seeing that there's a lot of Making Eight Maniacs that are going to be heading down this way, Jay Lay being one of them. I believe there's a few more. Wellsie 66 is going to be joining us. And there's going to be a few more. So, with that being said, you guys have got to stay tuned to MakingEight.com, because we're going to get a grip and have a blast down here for a tailgate party. We're going to do a live broadcast before the event, and we're going to call it our tailgate party. We're going to hang out and do a live video feed, so you, the Making Eight Maniacs, will be able to check us out from Tampa, and as well as the rest of the Making Eight Maniacs. So, hopefully by then we'll have some shirts set up, some Making Eight Maniac shirts.
That would be...
Most definitely. So
we bring the party back here.
Yeah, we'll bring it back here to Making Eight Ranch, and we'll really break things down. Anyways, I think that's going to wrap up our show here for the day. We got our lunch hour rodeo show tomorrow, 12:30 Eastern Standard Time, when we get back on track there, Making Eight Maniacs. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in and let you all know to keep getting a grip with Making Eight. And until tomorrow, we'll see you down the road.
Welcome and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of the heavens sing. Turn your radio on. Never fall.
fall. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
This is Wrangler National Finals Rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Makin8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Makin8 is a winner.